Well, good morning. This April 26th is yet another Sunday we get to enjoy together, praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord together. I know we're all looking forward to being able to gather in our meeting place. How I pray that you will learn to endure with the trial the Lord is giving to you and to me. May this not turn into an opportunity for the enemy to make God's people weak. How I pray that you are continuing to grow in your faith, that you are being trained, you are learning endurance, you are letting your life continue to be molded and conformed into the image of Christ. I'm going to pray with you for just a moment, and then we're going to read from the 13th Psalm together. So let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, oh dear God, as the sands fall through the hourglass, as the days go by, and time in this age, time in this world comes closer and closer to an end, Lord. How I pray that you would help us, your saints. God, help us who have put our hope in Christ to hear and understand your words to the church. Dear God, how I pray that we would truly find joy in learning to glorify your name. Lord, I pray that you would help us to put our lives to accomplishing your purposes. Lord, you left Christians on this earth for your purposes, not for ours. How I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see with joyful eyes what you accomplish, what you are about doing. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you, Lord. How I pray, Father, for your help this morning as we pray, as we sing, as we read together. Lord, please strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to read the 13th Psalm together this morning. The 13th Psalm. It is another Psalm of David. You'll see it's quite a short Psalm. Let's read together. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is quite a precious psalm for a number of reasons. You notice that in the very first lines, in the first two verses, he asks the question, how long? And so we realize in reading this that part of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a child of God, is not a constant realization of abundance and lack of need in our lives. No, far from it. The psalmist in the spirit asks the question, how long? And so we see into his heart that his need is great. His breaking point is right on the verge of ending his hope. He almost cannot hold on any longer. He feels forgotten by the Lord. He feels the Lord is far from him, and he can't see the Lord, as in his faith is weak, because he has been so long without the blessing and the care and the daily experience of his life that he longs for. He longs for some relief. And you and I wonder sometimes, how long is enough, Lord? Maybe you've been praying for a child who doesn't have faith. Maybe your financial situation is very difficult, and especially in a day like this, virus and our nation standing on the brink of a financial disaster, a political situation in our nation that almost would make us feel the situation is hopeless. We've never seen the party lines and the population so at each other's throats. And it seems that the immorality in our culture grows stronger, less and less bound by any constraints. Maybe you wonder, how long, Lord, how long? I think our deepest longings are for our children, or for those ones that have been close to us, and they just don't seem to love the Lord. They don't seem to be that interested in the gospel. They have a form of religion but deny its power. We fear that some of these ones we love are not even converted, maybe. The psalmist David in the spirit can almost not take it any longer. He wonders if God is just gone and can't hear him any longer. Hebrews 10:36 and Colossians 1 have a couple of interesting words for us. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Isn't that an interesting word there in Hebrews 10:36? You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So doesn't it seem, isn't it implicit that waiting for God to fulfill his will, waiting for God to work out his purposes, is part of his will? You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God. Well, while you are enduring, do you realize you're accomplishing the will of God? You realize sometimes this long waiting is actually his purpose in forming the confidence of the believer who, even through impossible hardship, even in impossible waiting that seems too long, God is working out, God is building, he is making an endurance in his child. So you need to realize that this is part of God's will for the saints. Christian, listen to Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Colossians 1, 9 to 11 speaks about Paul's praying for these Christians that he knows are in Colossae. Listen to Paul's prayer for the Christians there, beginning in verse 9, Colossians 1, 9. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," and it's since the day he's heard of their faith, since the day he's heard about these Christians there and about their genuine Christian love, their genuine Christian faith, "for this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now look, "strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy." Wow, isn't that an amazing prayer? To realize that Paul's prayer for this great body of believers there in Colossae, his great prayer that they may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in their knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. For what? What do they need this mighty Christian strength for? For all patience and long-suffering. Isn't long-suffering an interesting word as we're thinking about this psalm? Long-suffering means suffering long. And this is something that a Christian can be praying for his fellow believers. This is something you can realize is part of what it means to be a follower of Christ, is to endure this long experience that feels too agonizing and that feels too hard. It is part of what it means to be a Christian. You, Christian, you pray as he prayed for the other believers, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Pray that the believers might be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pray for your brothers and sisters that they might possess this endurance that is the Christian call. It is part of what God is working out in his people. Well, the psalm changes tone at verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. The first lines, all David can do is say, how long, how long, how long? As if you just cannot take it anymore. And then he finally comes to words in verse 3, consider and hear. O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes. And now he's asking for a particular help. He's asking for a specific kind of grace. God, enlighten my eyes. Give me some hope here, God. Help me to be able to go on. Let my eyes see how to go on, lest I just die. And also, lest the enemy get a victory. That is, when the believer just gives up, When the believer gives up in failure or in loss, the enemies of the believer will say in some manner or another that I have prevailed against him. I have what's real. I have what works. I have what gives me pleasure. I have what gives me happiness. And look at that Christian. He's always sad and always falling down and never enjoying any joy. David's prayer is that the Lord wouldn't let the enemy say such a thing, lest those who trouble him rejoice when he is moved. Oh, listen, Christian, pray that God would give you endurance. Pray that God would open your eyes, that you could see the point of your suffering, that you could see his goodness, that you could see and understand so that you continue on in hope. And then look at how quickly he realizes in verse 5 and 6. Look at how David sees God's provision, how he understands God's provision. Verse 5 says, but I have trusted in your mercy. I have trusted in your mercy. Remember what mercy means. It's such a wonderful thing to realize that the mercy of God is not receiving what you deserve. The mercy of God is not receiving what you deserve. Sinners realize that even their littlest sins, our smallest disobediences, our little sins of coveting, our little sins of lusting, momentarily, we catch it and we arrest it and we're ashamed, and maybe you confess it even, as we should. God's children trust in his mercy. They trust that God is a God of mercy. He doesn't recompense his children according to what they deserve. And look at how he finishes verse 5. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So verse 5, it's in the past tense. I have trusted in it. I have done this. I trust in your mercy. And my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So he is also looking forward, and he is also seeing with his heart that God is going to save him. Save him from this circumstance. Save him from this impossible difficulty. My heart shall rejoice in your saving me ultimately. In the end, my heart shall rejoice in your saving me from this trial. David's confidence in the Lord is rooted in his understanding of the mercy of God. And finally, in verse 6, I will sing. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He has dealt richly with me, abundantly with me. Isn't this just amazing how we go in verses 1 and 2, a bankrupt soul cannot hear God, cannot see God, cannot wait any longer, is out of endurance. And by the time we get to verse 6, which honestly, if you just sat and read this when I'm done here, it'll take you about 30 or 40 seconds to read these six verses. So here he is in his closing of his prayer. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Oh, how I pray that you will drive yourself to these passages, that we will read and meditate on these passages and learn how to take hold of our own hearts, learn how to take hold of our wandering and fearful minds and direct the steps of our hearts in faith, point our hearts in faith to the Lord. And with David, we could trust in his mercy. We can rejoice in his salvation, and we can sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with us. He is rich to us. He is so good to us. Let's pray for a moment. Oh Lord, how great it is. How great it is to experience the heavy hand of your training us, to experience your working out of endurance in us and for us. Oh God, please accomplish your work of making your dear ones strong, Lord. God, may the men and women of our congregation be made strong in their hope in Christ. May they be full of joy and hope in anticipating you as they come to you in the blood of Christ. Oh God, how we long for the day, how we look forward to the day, to entering your presence, entering into the rest of eternity, wearing the righteousness of Christ. Oh God, please do give these men and women who have put their faith in Christ, God, give them spiritual wisdom and understanding. God, give them strength and power to live godly lives so that when you return, Lord, we would be found doing your works. We would be found full of hope in Christ. We would be found helping the Christians, helping the church grow to maturity in Christ, Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.